Our guest on our program today is Amy Knoll with the American Heart Association. And Amy, thanks for taking time to come and visit with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, we have a number of things that are happening that we'll get to talk about. But the first is we have a blackout coming up. This is kind of a tradition. DMAC, not necessarily blackout, but DMAC working with the American Heart Association.
Yes, it started with Coach Craftsison about probably over 10 years ago now. We've been doing an annual Red Out event. This year it's going to be a blackout event to raise awareness for heart disease and stroke.
And we know that, again, it's, they've raised some money each year. Last year, what, about $1,500?
Yep, mm-hmm. Last year was our record, our all-time best, raising $1,500 for research and public health education and other things here in our state.
So our goal, folks, we want to raise more. We'd like to raise more because it's all goes to the American Heart Association. Really, a lot of education. It goes into a lot of education.
Correct. Yes, actually, in our state of Iowa right now, because of events such as the Red Out, we have heart walks, we have Go Red for Women luncheons, we work in our schools. Through all of those programs, we are able to fund 38 studies in the state of Iowa right now. 37 of them are happening at the University of Iowa, and one of them is at Iowa State. And so that's to the tune of about $7.8 million going back into research in our own state. We're also doing public health education, training for EMTs. We're working with schools to create cardiac emergency response plans. So we do have a plan in action in case there is something happening during the school day or after hours, advocacy and all kinds of things. So these are just some of the things that are happening with those funds that are being raised here. We're able to use them locally in our state.
Well, our blackout, or we're calling it a blackout this year. We're going for black shirts. That seems to be the popular thing.
Correct.
We're doing now.
Yep.
But it is going to be on Saturday the 18th, and it's going to be DMAC and Ellsworth. And, I mean, we've got you got probably the better teams matching up here the way it looks like. And their records and I know you visited with both the coaches already, Jocelyn, and with, was it Blake? Blake.
Yep.
So,
yep.
I think Blake lives up over in the northeast area there too. So, but they're both ready to do this.
They are. And actually, I'll let Blake do the talking at the game, but he shared last year, he actually has a personal connection to heart disease himself. So, you know, it goes for a good cause, and probably everyone knows somebody who's been affected by heart disease or stroke.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be, again, regular hours for them, or regular time. 1 in the afternoon, 3 in the afternoon. It'll be at the Den, the DMAC Gymnasium. And so what do people need to do? They need to get tickets? Or how are they going to get in? How are they going to help support this?
Yeah, that's a really great question, and thanks for asking that. So, yep, just regular game time. If people are interested, they can purchase a black shirt at the game. Also, Amanda Strayer, she works at DMAC. She's in charge of student activities, and she does a phenomenal job in helping to get the word out and get the students involved in promoting the event. They will be selling T-shirts in the Commons there throughout the week leading up to the game. And if people choose to donate and they can't come to the game, they can text DMAC Gives to 41444. DMAC Gives to 41444. And they can make a donation and it goes directly to the American Heart Association.
Okay. And again, this is what now, 10 years ago it started?
Yeah, so I think it actually probably even more than that. We kind of took a year or two off because of COVID.
We had that.
But I think this is about our 10th year in total doing the event.
And a good time because it leads up to February, which is Heart Month.
Exactly. So the whole idea is we will have mannequins that people can practice, hands-only CPR. We have educational handouts about the warning signs and the risk factors of stroke and heart attack. And we want people to become aware and learn how to help save a life.
This is, again, you helped do this. It's a big profile event, high profile event. Actually, for the Heart Association, you work with a lot of schools. And that's, you kind of had touched a little bit on that earlier. Schools, early education, especially in the high schools, and so you cover several counties here in Iowa and work with several others as well.
Yeah, that's correct. So personally, I have about 30 counties in the state of Iowa, and I work traditionally in elementary schools, but mm-hmm. we work with middle schools, high schools, and colleges as well. So it's roughly about 300 schools that I'm in charge of. And then I also oversee two other people that have about 350 schools or so themselves in Iowa and Nebraska. So the whole idea is to start at an early age to be proactive. So teaching these younger kiddos how they can take care of their hearts. We know that heart disease is the number one cause of death for both men and women, but up to 80% of that can be prevented if we make heart healthy choices, which we know the healthy choice is not always the default choice. It's so easy just to grab a burger and fries, and it's cheaper and faster and quicker and with our busy lifestyles. So we want to start at an early age to teach the kiddos to drink more water, get more sleep, eat more fruits and vegetables, exercise, a lot of these things. We're also going into the social emotional realm as well, because we know heart health and brain health go hand in hand, and helping others feels good. So we teach the kids to be kind, be a leader, be a part of something bigger than yourself, and help others. A big part of what we've been doing in our elementary schools and middle schools is that CPR piece. Mm. Oh. So we actually, science has proven that kids as young as 5 years old can retain the information. They can't necessarily do the compressions, mm-hmm. but so for example, we had a kindergarten student last year that went through our Kids Heart Challenge program, which has an option of watching a video, a 2-minute video of hands-only CPR. He watched it at home with his mom, and they went to church about 2 weeks later, and a gentleman suffered a cardiac arrest in church, and they looked around, and gosh, nobody's jumping in to help. So they jumped in, and they saved the gentleman's life. He, mm-hmm. The little 5-year-old counted while his mother did compressions and saved the gentleman's life. So the whole idea is, through the Kids Heart Challenge program in the elementaries, we have this video that we want all of our families to watch. If mm-hmm. they don't raise any donations, that's okay. It's about the education piece of it as well, because if more people in our communities know what to do in case of an emergency, the safer and healthier our communities will be. Right now, about 40% of people will jump in to do bystander CPR. And, you know, we want to turn our nation of bystanders into a nation of lifesavers and have that percentage go up to 100%. Everybody would be willing to jump in, but it's just a matter of people don't jump in because they're scared that they don't know what to do. They might do it wrong. They might hurt somebody. All kinds of factors. So the more that we can talk about it and get it front of mind for everyone, the healthier and safer that we'll all be. So I kind of attribute it to, for the schools, you know, we do tornado drills, fire drills. Sure. Now we're doing active shooting drills. All of these things are extremely important. So why not also do a cardiac emergency response drill? So we are prepared in case something happens. And then when we're doing this with the younger kids each year, they're watching this video again. It's only a 2-minute video. They're having that refresher mm-hmm. every year. So by the time they are older, they feel very comfortable and equipped to be able to help and jump in and save a life.
So I'm old enough to remember all the times when you had to do CPR at school. They would bring the resuscitant and then the whole bit. For the upside, the what we've learned in one of the new things, the hands-only CPR, that seems to be, if you can do that, that has a big impact.
Correct. Yep. The science has proven that doing the compressions is about just as effective as doing the breaths and the compressions. So that actually makes people feel more comfortable to jump in and do it. For every minute that goes by and a CPR is not performed, that's a 10% less chance of survival. So the sooner that we jump in and help someone, the better chance they're going to have to come out on the other side.
I know, because getting the information out to people and having them do that, not everybody has access to defibrillators. Which is, they're great to have them out there, but you can't depend on them solely. Mm-hmm. Usually somebody doing CPR is the first thing there.
Exactly right. And especially in Iowa, we have obviously we're a rural state. So a lot of, I live in Roland. So who is going to come to my house if I suffer a cardiac arrest? It's going to be volunteers, right? So the more that people in our homes are equipped with the knowledge and the education, the better outcomes that we're all going to have until we wait until the emergency personnel arrive. So, and that's another piece that the American Heart Association is working on, is that equitable piece, making sure that we all have access to the same knowledge, education, medication, equipment on those ambulances, whether you live in Waukee right next to a large hospital or you live in a rural setting. We want to make sure that everyone has equitable access to life-saving measures.
Learning it is easy. So one of the things is, again, the dollars that we raise and the awareness we raise that helps to get the information out. Now, I like the schools because younger kids, as they learn, they just kind of retain it. And, you know, yes, eat healthy, exercise. Got to be a challenge for some that are screen time locked in there. But still, getting them out, doing things like that, that's pretty important. As they get older, obviously, they can do more things and become a little more adept at it. Does the education, the training get a little more intense as they get older? Or is it still all part of this? You're capable of doing this. This is what you need to do. This is how to go about it.
Yeah, so we have, based on age levels, we do different educational programs. So for the younger kids, it's bright, it's colorful, it's fun characters that they can collect. Every year we have a new set of heart hero characters. This year they're little ducks, we've had puppy dogs, usually we have 6 to 8 characters, and they each have a name and a personality, and the thinking is they will learn those names and personalities. So for example, this year we have one that's named Rain, and Rain splashes around in water because rain reminds us to drink more water. Mm-hmm. Pepper carries around a basket of fruits and vegetables, so mm-hmm. Pepper wants us to remember to eat fruits and vegetables, and so on and so forth. So that's kind of how we sort of try to teach the younger kids, and then they have the opportunity, if they collect donations, for a $5 donation, they receive their first duck. For a $10 donation, they receive their second duck. And the idea is if they hang them on their backpacks, and maybe they go to grandma and grandpa's house, and grandma's like, mm-hmm. what are those little ducks for? And then, you know, the kid can say, oh my gosh, grandma, I'm so glad you asked me. This is our ninja. And the ninja says to say no to vaping and tobacco and those kind of things. So that's mm-hmm. how we start with the younger age, to empower them to be a heart hero in their family, to teach their loved ones how to make heart healthy choices. But as we get older, for the middle school age, we focus more on sleep, nutrition, exercise, and vaping. We know that that's a huge epidemic. So that's another piece that the American Heart Association is working towards. We work with legislature in creating new laws and trying to limit access and those kind of products. So vaping, and then as we get to the high school level, we actually have a requirement in our state that everyone needs to learn how to do CPR. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome. It's huge for our state. Not every state has a requirement like that. So it's more learning CPR and getting that education.
The efforts, and again, it's more than that, because you talked about raising funds for research and stuff, and having the University of Iowa, big medical facility, so they can do a lot here. But over, you mentioned Iowa State also does things too.
Yes, and we've had Des Moines University. So all the events that we do, we're a nonprofit, and our main goal is funding research and public health education for heart and stroke. So over the years, we've been able to fund quite a bit of research. But when COVID happened, we couldn't gather. We couldn't mm-hmm. hold our events. And so we had to kind of put a halt on the funds that we could, the grants that we could give to scientists and researchers, because we just didn't have it. When we fund a research grant, it's $25,000 to $50,000 per year, and it's a 3 to 5 year grant that we award. So every year, we have scientists and researchers that have great ideas and things that they want to study, but it just kind of depends where we're sitting, because we give them mm-hmm. the money for 3 to 5 years to do their research. And so anyway, we're starting to beef that back up, and hopefully we'll have some more at Iowa State and DMU in the near future too. Sure.
So again, the big thing is our fundraiser is coming up. It's going to be a blackout event. And again, in the past, we mentioned We've raised, almost $7,000 altogether just with the DMAC events here. And you do other high school events out there as well. Again, this just happens to be the one that's coming up here. DMAC and Ellsworth will be playing on the 18th here at the Den. And we are looking forward to having a lot of people out there. So again, the process, get a ticket, go to the game. But if you can't, there are other ways to help contribute, help support the effort.
Absolutely. We want to see the packed house to cheer on the Bears. We appreciate DMAC and their partnership and all that they do for the American Heart Association. Would love to see everyone out at the game. There's going to be some fun contests and some giveaways as well. But yeah, if you can't make it for whatever reason, you can always text 41444. Text DMAC gives to that 41444 and you can help out the cause. And we really appreciate all that we can do.
And again, last season we had 1,500. We'd love to top that this year. It's going to be on the 18th. I don't think weather's going to be an issue for you folks. I think you'll be able to go. Some people, fans, they show up all the time. Other things that they can do or people can do, take time to find out how to learn hands-on CPR.
Absolutely. Like yep. They can go to heart.org/nation, and they can actually find a place where you can go and learn and get certified for CPR. That nation, that stands for Nation of Lifesavers. So, we appreciate everyone's support, and we look forward to making our communities healthier and safer. So, thank you.
Amy Knoll, a guest, a special school engagement director, but also working with the American Heart Association and our blackout event that's coming up here. And let's have a big turnout and make a lot of dollars to help support the American Heart Association. February is Heart Month, so you're going to hear a lot more announcements coming up. See, I wear my red on Fridays, too. Got to do that. And thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it so much.